Blog Talk Radio.
Well, big hello to everyone out there, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. I'm Lauren Leibowitz. It's Thursday, January 28th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. If you joined us last time, I mentioned that my dear friend Noah and Azark were parked here in Los Angeles for a few days. Well, the latest news is that Noah and his ark has disappeared due to the overwhelming amount of sunshine the past few days. And all I could say is, yippee-ki-yo-ki-yay, love the sunshine. Wish Noah all the best, and but it's so great to see that sun shining in sunny California, because that's why they call it Southern Sunny California. And I wanted to let everyone know, heads up, we're changing our shoes. In February, a new format will begin February 4th. It's also very exciting, so stay tuned for more details, and we'd love to hear from you. So if you'd like to join us live on air, please dial 347-857-2710. We are here live until 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that number, 347-857-2710. 2710, and I can already see our switchboard is lighting up, and I love lights. Well, last time on the show, we got naked and raw, and it was so popular that we're going to get naked again, but this time we're throwing in some laughter, too. And it just so happens that my guest today is the perfect person to get this show rolling. She is an actress, comic, and producer and creator of Tasty Words, a spoken word salon. Let's give a warm welcome to Wendy Hammers. Hi, Wendy.
Hello, hello. Good to hear you. And I have to tell you, speaking of being comfortable in one's own shoes, the music that I have the pleasure of listening to, and I guess all of your listeners who call in listen to, is so darn groovy when you're waiting for the show to start that I had to go put on go-go boots while I was waiting. And
did you really? So you already had another pair of shoes on while you were waiting?
I had burgundy suede, but they had to switch to the plastic vinyl go-go boot because the music was just too cool, and I was wearing lipstick, frosted lipstick, and running around the house, very happy.
Not only do you get an enormous amount of valuable information while listening to this show, but it's also an aerobic workout.
It is, and also I have to let all your listeners know that I had my nails done and my hair done for this show because I know it's radio, but you still got to look.
But you look gorgeous. It's just radio, but I can see you. I feel it.
Thank you.
I had my hair done yesterday, so I'm feeling good. It lasts a day, and I showered. And that's always helpful when you shower. You feel better.
I know. You have to make sure you see a lot of people, though, when you have a good hair day. You know what I mean? You got to work it while my hair looks really good. I don't go home. I have to go out further.
I saw a commercial where the girl's in the salon getting her hair done, and then she immediately, I think it's for Jeep Cherokee, she goes into a Jeep Cherokee, and the top is down.
Totally
like, who cares? That's when you let your hair go free, is just when you've had it done.
That's right. And that's when you were talking about the weather here in Southern California, I have a convertible. I drive a little bug, a VW, and it really is true. We let you put the top down, and you feel so happy and joyful because you're out there enjoying the weather, and it just makes you happy. So, and I have to tell you, I think of myself as a very relatively positive person. I went to hear Reverend Michael Beckwith speak last week from the Agape Church. I don't know if you know who he is.
I'm very familiar with him, yes.
Yeah, very great spiritual chief. And I thought I was an optimist. He talked about his description of all the rain we've been having, this deluge, the Noah's Ark you talked about at the top of the show.
Yeah.
He called it liquid sunshine. I thought, man,
I love that.
He is really optimistic. I thought I was, but that's like crazy, so... Yeah,
but that's true. I've talked a lot about attitude on the show, or just how you look at things. Sure,
right.
you could say to somebody, "Gosh, I really want sunshine. This is what I want in my life." And you're so consumed with yourself that you don't realize that it's right in front of you. Or how to flip things around to make them more positive. People who are stuck in traffic.
Yeah, what's the context?
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the question when it comes to empowering women. Let's talk, for example, about the issue of age, which is such a huge issue. And is it that we're getting older, or is it that we're getting wiser? Is it that we are, we think we were better when we were in our 20s, or should we actually own the fact that we're juicier now because we've lived a life, we've got something to share and something to draw on and something to offer people that we didn't have when we were in our 20s, let's say.
because we have the practice and the experience. And you know what? The alternative of not aging is not very good.
Yes. No, it's very
bad. So I do want to age.
Yes, that's right. The alternative is death. It's not good. I agree with you.
Yeah. So, but it's how you live your life that counts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So much. So how do you live your life, Wendy Hammers?
Well, pretty joyfully most of the time. First of all, I should say that I feel like I had a life that was a good life, and then I traded in and I got a better life. And I definitely reinvented and started over when I was 40, and I just celebrated 49 years. Last month I turned 49, so.
Oh, you did? Well, kudos to you. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Yes, I'm quite the sage. So reinvention and just knowing that, you know, the old expression, you know, they say it ain't over till the fat lady sings. I had a teacher that used to say, until you say it's over. That's when you know it's over, and not until you decide, because there's always another chapter. And, you know, in my case, I was married to not the right person for me, and he's not married to the right person for him, and we had to end that after many years. And then I was single and learned a lot about life, being a single mom and reinventing my business so I could support my child and myself, and then fell in love years later, and now I'm remarried, now I'm a newlywed. It's like, wow, how did that happen? But
so
it happened.
How long were you single?
I'm single for 5 years. 5 years in between.
5 years.
And, yes, 5 years. And another thing about falling in love when you're a little bit older is you know sooner, I think, because there are no games going on. You know, it doesn't take you years to decide. When I met my sweetie, we knew almost immediately, and we were married. We were engaged a year later. So it just was like, what are we waiting for? We want to be together, and it's joyful when we are. So let's do it.
Did you hold out on the sex until after you were married?
Yeah, right. I'm a very old-fashioned girl, so I waited
thought
till
so.
Yes, I waited till the second date. So.
Exactly. And how did you meet Mr.
Oh, it's
Mr.
insane. Ruby? It's a ridiculous story. He sold me a car. I fell in love with a car salesman. And
you
let me tell
didn't?
You, yes, I did. And he doesn't have a pot belly or a comb over. It's nothing like you think. But every cliche about what you think that looks like, he's none of that. He's a wonderfully sensitive, artistic, creative, brilliant, you know, educated man from a lovely family, all the good things, and he happened to be selling cars. He comes from a line of family members who love and collect vintage cars, so that was his background. And he was supposed to be out of this job when we met, but he stayed an extra 6 months before he left to move on to his dream job that he's in now, and he says now, of course, that's why I was still there, so we could meet. And he sold me a car that I definitely wasn't going to buy. 3 days later, he saved me $100 a month on the lease and asked me if he could take me to dinner. So I got power steering and a husband. Thank you. And
how did you actually get a car salesman to talk to you as a woman?
He was lovely. Well, because I was being abused by the other dealership. I can't mention their name, but it rhymes with Fonda down the block. And so I walked into the car place and fell into his arms because he was acted like a human being, and he wasn't trying to be, you know, that horrible thing of, oh, you're a woman, you don't know what you're doing, let's charge you three times more. He didn't do that to me. So.
Well, I won't mention this place because I walked into a BMW dealership. I, too, have a convertible, which
uh-huh.
I so enjoy, like yourself.
Yes.
And I had heard that the latest model of this convertible, it had a retractable top, and it was this, and it was that. And so I went in there in the dealership, and there was one salesperson. But they were busy. There was nobody around. And if it wasn't for the way the country is at this time,
right.
I would have stood in the middle of the showroom and shouted, is anybody going to help me buy this car? Because I have money to spend, and if you're not, I'm leaving.
Unbelievable.
But I think I would have been arrested.
No, they would have been happy to have the sale, but yes. But the other side of it is this feeling like you're being taken advantage of, that they just assume that you don't know because you're a woman. Now, I don't know much about cars. That's the truth. But that doesn't mean that can't be a smart consumer and I can't ask the right questions. And I will tell you, this is a classic thing at this other place. They advertised, you know, a very low rate in the newspaper. And when I walked in, by the time they added the extras, I mean, I didn't realize that, like, an engine and a steering wheel counted as extras. I'm like, they go, oh, you want tires? You're going to have to pay more for those. Like, there was nothing included on this car. I don't know what they were selling me, like a horn. And then everything was extra. So they were trying to rip me off, and I didn't go there. So instead, I found the love of my life. How do you like that?
I don't, like, just for that reason alone, I don't go to a dealership. I have a car broker.
A broker, I know. It's very L.A. I never heard of that before.
I didn't, but the funny thing is that the car broker that I use is a woman. And she's great.
Oh, cool.
Because you can get a fleet price.
Yeah, that's great.
And
well, I grew up in Jersey. We didn't have car brokers. We had people that break their fingers if you charge them too much for the car.
That's what a car broker is. It doesn't matter what you call it. You know, you call it, you know, like Tony,
right.
You know, whatever. Okay.
Soprano.
Since you're from Jersey, I know you have your,
yes.
your production company, Jersey Girl Productions. I don't know
yes.
why you're not on that reality show, Jersey Shore.
It's a documentary. You know, I'm embarrassed to say this. I can't quite believe this. I've never seen that show. I've heard so much about it, and I did grow up with that, so it probably would be like a documentary for me. No, I did not do the Jersey Shore. My big claim to fame is I was on The Sopranos. That was really fun. I got to be on the last season, and I did two episodes, and I was the sort of hidden Carmela when Tony Soprano, I don't know if you watched, but Tony was in an altered state, and he thought he was this other guy, and I was the wife on the phone, so I got to call in and be his wife. It was really fun.
Oh, you're in the call. So you're this is why you're so good on the radio, because you're a good caller.
Yeah.
You called in.
I got to say things like, I don't know, Tony. You just sound a little out of it. I was like Carmela. So anyhow, there you go.
That's great. So where in Jersey are you from?
Cherry Hill, South Jersey.
So
lovely
that's
area.
Is that near West Orange?
No, that's the other side of the state. No, Cherry Hill is near Philadelphia, like 10 minutes from Philadelphia. No cherries, no hills, just malls, diners, guys named Vinny with blow-dried chest hair. It's fabulous. And Jews and Italians. That's what I grew up with.
That's right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, I do have something that I want to mention. This is a plug, but it's perfectly appropriate considering what we're just talking about. I created a one-woman show called Undressing New Jersey and Other States of Mind. And I would love to invite each and every one of your listeners who is within earshot to come and see a production of my solo show, which I'm doing as a benefit for a synagogue in Southern California, my temple, Beth Shir Shalom.
Oh, nice. So when is that?
It is happening on Saturday, March 6th, and all of the proceeds go to benefit the temple, Beth Shir Shalom. And if people want more information, they can go on my website and get more information.
And please give us your website.
It's Wendy Hammers. Yeah, wendyhammers.com.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Are you probably familiar with the Fringe Festival, are you not?
I am, yes.
Because I had Ben Hill was one of the guests on a past show, who's the director of the Hollywood Fringe Festival. So,
oh, great. I just heard about it. Yes, a mutual friend of ours is actually performing in that festival.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. So I was very fortunate to be an audience member in one of your Tasty Words. I think our mutual friend, Raleigh Pinsky, was one of your performers. And it's a monthly spoken word salon. So tell us more about that. That was a lot of fun.
It is. Thank you. We do have a good time. Tasty Words is a spoken word salon. If people are not familiar with that term, simply means it's storytelling for grown-ups. And we do this once a month. It's always on a given theme. The show that you saw was called Vintage Women Who Get Better With Age. We're going to be doing another version of that show coming up next year. What else can I tell you? You asked me how I live my life and reinvention and all of that stuff and being comfortable in my own shoes. 8 years ago, my divorce was happening and 9/11 was happening and a dear friend of mine passed away and this sort of series of very traumatic, life-changing events happened. And I felt that if I did not have a place for myself and my friends to get on stage and tell our stories, that our heads would explode. I really felt that. I was like, we need an outlet, a creative outlet. And so it started on a whim with one performance, and now we've been doing it for 8 years, and we've done over 60 shows. And we gather once a month in this groovy little bookstore in Santa Monica called Every Picture Tells a Story. It's on Montana Avenue in Santa Monica. We're going to start doing podcasts this year so people who are not local can still hear and see the shows. And what else can I tell you? We have a big Valentine's event coming up that's going to be in Santa Monica as well on the 11th of February at the Santa Monica Bay Women's Club, which if people don't know about that, they should, because that is a really cool place.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in the community for over 100 years. It's a landmark building, historic building in Santa Monica. It's run by and for women, and it started in 1905, and it is still going strong. And so we're sort of the next wave of bringing events that empower women to the community here in Santa Monica. And we're going to do a big show there.
That's wonderful. I think you should have been on NBC at the 10 p.m. slot. I think the
I think so, too. Can we call somebody? That's a good idea.
I think, you know, now that that slot is open and they're probably looking for dramas and people are going to cable, it would be a perfect – that would be a great show because it would
have a little
more oomph, something for women. You know, we're always trying to find good
quality – Well, one of the things about the Santa Monica Bay Women's Club that's got me so jazzed is the most of the members who are currently active are women, really dynamic, bright, interesting women who are in their 60s and 70s, who have lived really full lives, been professional women of all walks, and have a lot to say. And, you know, in every culture, Lauren, if you think about it, we look to our elders, you know, the whole thing about respect your elders, or the elders are the ones in the tribe that have the wisdom. In every culture, we go, oh, yes, let's talk to them, except for this one. And this one, we go, get Botox and make pretend you're 12. It's so backwards. So I feel like part of the reason I want to bring, you know, another wave of people to this community is I feel like that we can learn from these women, and these women can learn from us. And
well,
it's a shame
it's
if we
true.
Don't.
It's yeah. true. Unfortunately, I think as a culture, America tends to discard the older population because
right, and it's crazy.
And you know what? And we're living longer. The 60s, 70s, into their 80s, and they're vibrant, vibrant women with a lot to offer. And of course, you can learn so much from them, which I find fascinating.
Yep,
anyway.
I do too. So that's one of the things that's exciting. So we're going to be doing everything from creative writing workshops and dance classes with these women, and then they're going to teach us how to play cards, and they're going to tell us the stories from their lives. I mean, it's going to be a great interchange.
I'd like to make a request, how to learn to play Mahjong.
I know someone who's putting together a class for Mahjong, so I can help you with that.
I'm being facetious because I don't know if
you... It's still around.
It is still around, but when I was a kid, I remember going to my mother's friend's home for a day of Mahjong, and just listening to the women's nails on the ceramic tiles. And hearing cracking, three bam, one birdie.
Wait.
Hey, Ruthie, do you got a sandwich and a cup of tea or something harder they would drink?
Wait, I'm going to do an impression of the nails on the clacking. Hold on. There it is.
That's it. Thank you. Wendy Hammers, ladies and gentlemen. Nail impersonator.
Yeah.
That and Rummy Cue, the sounds are very similar.
Now, what about, do you play poker? Are you a
poker
player?
I don't play poker. A strip poker. I played at Girl Scout
That's
camp.
That's good. Very progressive Girl Scout camp.
Well,
nice.
You know what? I have a beef with the Girl Scouts, and I'm aging myself because it's almost cookie season. And now,
oh, yeah. I have a problem with them, too. The
okay, they're $3.50, and they don't have the Mystic Mints. They're called Thin Mints. Why would you name a cookie Thin Mint? That doesn't...
No. The other name that they have that's very tricky is the, what do they call them? Tagalongs. And that's because the cookie tags along to the side of your ass if you eat too many of them. That's what I think.
Exactly.
Let me just say something about those little bitches in the uniforms. Can I just for a minute rant
Please.
About the Girl Scouts? I was a girl. Well, thank you. I thank you. I feel better already. I was a Girl Scout. I was a cadet, which is like one up from – I was never a brownie. But there you go. There it again is that subversive wanting to get everybody fat. They even name their troop after a sweet. They're called brownies. It's like, why don't they call them the cheesecakes? I mean, it's so ridiculous. And the cookies are delicious. They're too good. And then you always meet that person who like can eat one and then freeze the other for 6 months later. But I can't be friends with those people because that's weird.
I know. That's
doesn't make any sense.
It's just not right. It just really isn't right.
I know. And I just think they're out to get us because they're always like, you know, with their little uniforms and they're in the parking lot. It seems so innocent for a good cause. And next thing you know, you're in a coma.
And they use children.
Sugar coma.
They use girls, young children. You know, what is that about? You don't see an older adult in a uniform, do you?
That's right. They're like dealers for future sugar files. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, talk about, you know, they're talking about these marijuana places that are coming up around town. You know, what about all the Girl Scout stands that are going to be popping up shortly?
That's right. Do you know about iPod, by the way? Do you know what that is, since you mentioned marijuana?
No.
There's an app on the iPhone that if you put in iPod, you can see where all of the pot legal pot medical marijuana facilities are in your neighborhood.
Wow, that's great, dude. That's really cool.
Dude.
Totally
dude,
that's
you. Do
yeah.
that.
We've just shortened the English language to dude. Totally.
You know, my 13-year-old likes to text, and he doesn't spell anything correctly in the text. He does it in real life. He knows how to spell, but he said that's how you do it for text. And I thought, well, we're just teaching kids how to, you know, use bad grammar. It's really upsetting.
I'm very frightened. I'm on the fence about technology. I'm all for technology improving our way of life and making life easier for us. But yet, on the other hand, I always feel technology prevents people from communicating.
Mm-hmm. No, well, that
one
is the truth.
One. People,
you're right. You're right.
People, when you say hello to people, they look at you as if you're speaking a foreign language.
Right. Well, that's what somebody called me the other day, and they said, I tried to email you on three different emails, and I couldn't reach you, and then I tried to text you, and then they finally, it was like they were like, I'm going old school. I'm just going to call you. Like, wow, that's crazy. Pick up the phone and actually have a conversation. So,
don't do that.
Yeah, I know. God forbid. Well, I don't know. I'm very old-fashioned in a certain way. I'm with you. That's why I like live theater. I like actual conversations. I like parties where people can, you know, all of that. That's why I was never an internet dater when I was single, because I just couldn't wrap my brain around it. I know it works for a lot of people, but I just couldn't. It didn't make sense to me, for me.
Well, you know, having been, as I want to get back to Tasty Words just on this subject, having been in the audience and listening to a series of women tell their story, you cannot benefit from that via any other way, in my perspective, other than being there, listening to the person whose story it is, and getting their picture across, you know, hearing their picture verbally. And
I agree. It's palpable. You're in the room with the energy of it. Yeah.
Exactly. And nothing can replace that intimacy of live theater. I have to agree with you.
Really
but
fun.
I understand you're learning to speak French because you co-authored a book, tumeregime.com. Oui, je parle en feu.
Ah, je parle en français. Mais here's the thing. I wrote a book with my dear friend, who is my friend for over 20 years, dear friend of mine in New York, Elisa Troll and Owen. She and I wrote a book together. And as only can happen in L.A., our book agent and our publicist at the time, publishing house, had a fight, and they killed the deal. They'd already been paid for the book. We'd already written the book. We were about to go to print, and they said, no, we're not doing this. And then they salvaged the deal by selling it to a European company. So our book, written by two Jewish girls from the United States about, you know, what is our latest diet and, you know, what's our body image and what are we eating for breakfast and when are we working out, this sort of how not to diet book, if you will, was resold to France and translated into French and released in France, which means now that I think I might have told you the story when I met you, that I have a book that I wrote on my coffee table in my living room that I can't read because it's written in a language that I don't speak.
Continental. Who cares?
I know. It's very fancy. Yes, people are very impressed. But, you know, what do I know about French? I know they're fries. I can't tell you much. But they have my book. They sold it to Mirabeau Press in France. And I speak a little French, but not enough to write a whole book. I wrote it in English. So my next goal is to be published in English.
Concept.
I know. It'd be nice to write a book in a language that I actually speak.
That's
goodness.
A concept. Wow. So,
yeah.
Hey, but look at it. You can go, hello, my name is Wendy. You can go all over touring
France
with your book. Yeah.
That's right. But I just think it's funny. You sort of picture like a bunch of really French women, you know, drinking wine, smoking, and reading about, you know, me talking about my ass being like Jennifer Lopez's. It just seems weird to me. But, you know, hey, they wanted the book, so they got the book.
Yeah, you know, people give the French people a bad rap sometimes, so they're lovely people.
Oh, I was over there. I had a great time because if you even make an attempt to speak the language, they were nothing but kind to me as a result.
Yeah.
So,
definitely.
So
where did you get your funny bone? I guess you were born with it. You have it's very easy for you to think in that direction. So how did you get started in being a funny lady?
Boy, that's a great question. I was an actress before I was a comic. And I don't know if I was always the funniest in the room, but I probably was the loudest. And I always loved people. I always loved entertaining people. I always liked to talk in front of groups of people. It just was natural to me. And when people say to me, you know, I meet people, I'm on a plane going to a gig, let's say in Vegas, and they go, oh, my God, stand-up comedy, that's the hardest thing in the world. I'm like, no, it isn't. Welding, accounting, there's things that are hard. This is just me talking. When you do stand-up and you've done it enough times, if people don't laugh every time, you don't take it personally because you realize that there's other factors at hand. It's not just, you know, it's a given night. If they had a bad week at the office, they had a fight with their spouse, et cetera. But for me, telling jokes is just a venue or an arena, if you will, for having a connection, a community with people. And it's
now,
fun to laugh with other people.
Do you write them in your head or do you – I was thinking it would kind of be fun to maybe – I know there are a lot of – listeners out there who are writers, who are comedy writers, joke writing is its own, you know, God
in
itself.
I mean, it is a muscle. You know, people say, can you learn to be funny? I think you can learn to be funnier. I don't know if you can learn to be funny, but if you have funny bones,
you can learn
editing, and you can learn what is your own voice, what works for you. You start to understand that your persona and who you are is enough, and you just honor that. I mean, I've been doing stand-up for a long time, probably 25 years now, and I don't know if I'm the funniest kid on the block, but I know that I know what's funny to me. I trust that. I know if it makes me laugh, then that's good enough for me, and I trust it'll find an audience.
How would you describe your comedic eyebrow, your perspective?
very, I like the way you put that, very contemporary, very much just my perspective on life. I talk about the things that have happened to me. I talk about my failed marriage, my divorce, my, you know, dating at an older age, dating younger men. I talk about raising a child as a single mom, about my where I come from, being a Jewish girl from Jersey, about my obsession with food and sex, like all the stuff that I would talk about to a girlfriend over lunch, only I've crafted it into an act, but it's all based in the truth. I believe all writing is autobiographical initially. You write what you know, and then you build on it from there.
I think
you
brought up sex again, because I was saying earlier that we were getting naked, and now we have a caller. Let's see who has called in, and maybe they have a question for
you. I wonder who it is. Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air with Wendy and Lauren.
Hi, Lauren. I just want to tell you, you've got a great guest who's a great teacher and a great friend.
Oh, I know who this is.
Who is the
magic
voice?
It's the lovely Judith. I miss Judith Crane on the phone.
It's Judith Crane on the phone, ladies. Welcome, Judith. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Judith
I wouldn't miss it.
Judith Crane really must love me because Judith Crane is not feeling well today, but she's still listening to your show because she's smart because she knew it was a good show.
It's all I can do.
Well, since you called, let's just use this opportunity to tell her about the great event we're doing with Gloria Steinem. Why don't we do that?
Oh, my God, yes. Women's Reproduction Rights Assistance Project is going to be honoring Gloria Steinem.
March 16th.
March 16th.
Tuesday, March 16th, yeah.
Right, and the Women's Reproduction Rights Assistance Project raises money for low-income women of all ages, ethnicities, and cultural backgrounds who are unable to pay for emergency contraception or a safe and legal abortion, and their services are provided free of charge to the clinics across the nation.
Right.
It's a very, very wonderful organization.
That sounds
staffed
wonderful.
By volunteers.
How can people find out more information? Where can they go?
They can go to WRRAP.org, WRRAP.org.
Right.
And
I'm going to be helping
the information
with the event.
Will be there.
Yeah, and I will be the mistress of ceremonies, I guess. I'm going to be hosting. I'll be on the event with them, with Gloria. And
yes.
It's going to be a really fun event. And I have been involved with this organization for many years, as Judith has as well. She's really been involved. And I've been involved helping them put together comedy shows over the years to raise money for the organization. So
fabulous.
Yeah,
I love it. Another powerful woman, a dynamic woman on the line. That's
well,
fabulous.
Thank you so much for the plug.
Well,
yes,
and
glad
thank you for calling, Judith, and please feel better. I know there's something going around.
Yes, I'm going back to my tissues. Thank you.
Go back to your tissues.
Enjoy.
And
happy chicken soup. I love you. Talk to you later.
Bye.
That was
Bye.
A nice surprise. Oh, yay. I had it on my little list here of things to mention. I wanted to mention about that event, so I'm glad she called to remind me. Cause
you know, timing is everything. That's
indeed.
Beautiful. So WRRAP.
Yes, Women's Reproductive Rights. Yeah.
Okay, great. March 16th. Well, March is busy for you.
I know. A lot going on. And my one-woman show on the 6th at Beth Shear Shalom. And, gosh, what else? Tasty Words is coming up. If people want more information, they can go to the website for that. Yeah, lots of stuff going on. And just, you know, I like very much to feel that the world is a sweeter, smaller place. All of us see that there are scary things going on in the world, and there are terrible things going on in the world. And so if even in our own small way we can have a community, I think it makes everybody breathe a little better. And all of these shows I do, part of them is creating a community that we all share this together. And,
well, that's how I feel in general about life, that we all need to help one another. We can't do anything alone.
Yeah,
so if we kind of flip the switch on our attitude a little bit and try to help people, we get what we want, and we can help others at the same time. It's not that you have to neglect yourself, but by helping others, you help yourself.
But that's a radical paradigm shift from the
I
way
know,
a lot
I'm,
of people
but
think.
I'm a radical gal.
Yeah.
I'm a visionary. I'm radical.
You are, absolutely.
I am.
Well, no,
well,
I think
know,
it's
true because I've experienced the wonderful outcome of that, and I'm sure you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting people, other people's hands around this idea. And I don't know if you heard, listened to Barack Obama's State of the Union address last night.
I certainly
night,
did.
And he was trying to definitely say that. Don't go anywhere, Wendy. I just want to, we only have a few minutes. I just want to thank you, Wendy Hammers, for joining me today for a wonderful 30 minutes of just so much fun and laughter. It was a pleasure having you on. And,
my pleasure. Thank you.
And don't go anywhere, but I just want to let our listeners know that if you would like to find out more about Wendy and all the hats that she wears, go to Wendy Hammers, W-E-N-D-Y Hammer, HAMMERS.com, to contact her. And please join me next time for our new format. We have some wonderful guests, some very special surprises, and Wendy, where can people buy your book? We didn't even tell them your book.
Amazon, on French Amazon, I guess it's EuropeanAmazon.com or maybe regular Amazon.com. They can get it. And you know what, on the website there's a link to it, so you can go to my website and see that as well.
So link up,
yeah.
Get to Wendy, see her show.
You're great. And I hope to see you for Valentine's Day. Hopefully you could join us and some of the listeners. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, it'll be a lot of fun. And once again, and you please, you are more than welcome to come back on and then talk to us. Once again,
anytime.
This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time. Thank you.